Hey guys, welcome back to the Non-Immigrant Student Podcast. My name is Tolulope Ulukomi. If you're new here, welcome again. We're still on season two where I invited guests, you know, who have come to the US school to hear their stories and their journey. And today we have two very interesting guests all the way from Ghana. They're my friends, and you know, in a short while we're going to share how we met, you know, and all of that. But today, the title of today's episode is Going Back to Ghana, An Option or Not. So in the short time that I've known them, one of them is unflinching about her decision to go back to Ghana, and I have someone else who still wants to stay back here at school. And I just wanted to compare, you know, their decisions. Why does one of them want to stay? Why does one of them want to go? And I hope that you learn a thing or two. And yeah, I will be allowing them to introduce themselves. And I'll start with Efua, the one who wants to go back. And yeah, so I'll let them introduce themselves. Thank you so much for coming to the Non-Immigrant Student Podcast, Efua.
So thank you so much for having me. I'm Efua Sewa Namiche Nkansa. I'm an LLM student. For those who don't know what that means, it means I'm doing a master's in law, and I'm a lawyer back home in Ghana. And I hope this podcast will be very interesting. And Tolu, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And Abna, can you also introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Abna Oponfosu. I'm also studying my master's in law here at Cornell. And I'm also a lawyer back home in Ghana. So I'm here for a one-year program, and that'll be the end of my journey in Cornell. And thank you, Tolu, for having me here.
Sure. Of course. So I usually do this on my podcast where I ask people to share how we met, your own version of the story. I don't know if you guys remember the first time we met. Okay, so okay, Abna remember. So let Abna share her version of the story, but share mine.
So I met Tolu the very first day that I went to church here in Cornell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just randomly Googled churches in Cornell. The top one that came was
His Tabernacle. Shout out to you, Pastor Chad and Pastor Jude, yeah.
And then, yes, it was one of, I think it was like my second week in Cornell or so. So I was just there during worship, and then she came up to me. We were supposed to go around and say hi. Mm-hmm. And then she came up to me and said hello and said she was Nigerian. I was so excited. Like, finally, I'd seen another African.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was really refreshing. That was how I met Tolu.
I think you guys were together.
Were we?
Yeah,
we were together.
I walked up. Immediately, I saw them. Like, who are these tall, beautiful girls? They definitely look African, and I'm going to go and talk to them. And I did. And it's funny that you said you were excited, because you guys actually gave me straight face. Like, you guys were very calm. I mean, you were happy and all, but it was just like, who is this person coming to meet you, you know?
We hadn't seen another African or other black person, I think. So we're like, okay.
And then eventually now we've had brunch together, and you know, at least with the little conversation we've had, I was like, I think there's more to the story that I'm hearing, and that's why I want to talk to you about it. So, but before we talk about your decision to stay or to go, let's just go all the way back. So the truth is that anytime I meet Ghanaians, I'm usually like, oh my God, that's my West African sister, you know, because of how close Nigeria and Ghana is and all the beef we have and all that. But there's already a natural liking for this person, you know. Please no shade to my East African friends. I still love you very much, my South African friends and all that, but it's just always different. So I want to know, what was it like growing up in Ghana, you know? Mm-hmm. Us in Nigeria, we think our music is great, our jollof is great, our jollof is king, by the way. Sorry, no shade, no offense, but you know, there's just so much. It seems like Ghana has a good government, you guys have the gold, you have the lights, you guys are calm there. But what was it really like growing up in Ghana? Let me start with Efua.
I think everybody's story would be different, but for me in particular, I had a very happy childhood. For anybody who is in Ghana, I don't know if you know this place called Gimpa. I've lived on campuses my whole life because of my parents' profession. Mm-hmm. So my mom is a lecturer. Mm-hmm. So we've lived on campus. So it's been quite a sheltered life. Mm-hmm. I'm not really exposed to outside. Mm-hmm. My life has always been on campus. Mm-hmm. So any activity that I had to do with like people whose parents were also lecturers. Mm-hmm. Personally, it was happy and exciting. I wouldn't really say that I suffered, you know, lights out. You know, there's this thing my fellow Ghanaians will know, we call it doom saw. Mm-hmm. There was a period where we had that in Ghana. So the perception also about Ghana having a very good government, maybe as compared to other African countries, I may say that our government has been very progressive so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not really, we've struggled, but we've not really struggled.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been, it was very exciting.
Okay.
For me.
So thank you very much, Ifwa, for sharing that. You talked about living in a sheltered environment and being on campuses. So were your parents like professors or?
Yeah, so my mom is the professor, but my dad is a lawyer.
Mm.
So because of my mom, we had to live on campus.
Mm.
So growing up, I lived in Accra, that's Gempa, and presently I live in Kumasi on Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology campus.
Mm.
So that goes to show what I mean by having lived a sheltered life,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily living in much boisterous neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
but then living on campus, I'm sure everybody can figure out how that's like.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Ifwa. And for you, what was it like growing up in Ghana, Abna?
Okay, so I'll also describe my childhood as quite sheltered, but in a different way. So, for me, I come from a family of five. I have two older brothers, and I'm the last child of my parents. And my mom runs a school. She runs a primary and junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we call it in Ghana. I think it'll be middle school
mm-hmm.
here in the US. So I used to go to a school. I went to a school from childhood, from ever since I was born to like finish middle school. So I just used to go to school with her. I'll sit in the car with her and go to school and come back home. She knew all my friends. I'll have cousins who come home. Mm-hmm. So that was the kind of childhood I had. It was small life, small school.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kind of setting I had.
Where in Ghana?
Oh, sorry. I grew up in Kumasi.
Kumasi,
it's also
okay.
a small town as compared to the capital city.
Okay.
We didn't have a lot to do. I'll describe Kumasi like Ithaca.
Oh.
Kumasi should be something like Ithaca. That's where Cornell is.
Mm.
So, yeah. I basically did my whole childhood with my mother. Moving up and down with my mother and my cousins. And yeah.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have two older siblings, but they were in a separate school. And they're about 5 years older than me, so I wasn't so close to them when we were children, but now we are quite close.
So it seems to me that education is a big deal in Ghana, or it's just like 1 in 10 because 2 of you grew up on campuses. Because for me in primary school, I had Ghanaian lesson teachers. In fact, my teacher in primary 3, primary 5, and primary 4, I think we were all Ghanaians too. So well, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. So, you know, talking off of that and your family backgrounds, growing up quietly, would you say that's just a Ghanaian thing? Because I see most of you two are very quiet. You guys are calm. You guys are not as aggressive. I don't want to say as ambitious too, but, you know, there's a certain aggression that comes with being too ambitious that I would say Nigerians have that I haven't really seen even in my Ghanaian friends. You know, shout out to Eugene, Beryl, Sam, you know, and all the other Ghanaians I've met here. But would you say it has anything to do with your upbringing, or that's just how your country is?
I think it might be a general Ghanaian personality trait of us being calm as compared to Nigerians. Of course, like Nigerians, you guys are on a different level. But I think generally Ghanaians are much more calmer, if we are comparing, are much more calmer than Nigerians. But personality traits-wise, I think I'm not so outgoing. As compared to maybe other Ghanaians, like in my little circle of friends, like with some of the experiences we've had together, I'll be like happy, jumpy, maybe not as compared to how you might be, but I might be happy, jumpy, and all of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, generally, I would say that Ghanaians are much more calmer,
And
as like personally, too, I'm much more calmer.
Calmer, I see. And by the way, just to clarify, when I say Ifo, I mean Nyamechi.
Am I saying it properly?
I think that's your full name. So, Abna, do you mind telling us where you went to school, like what university, your primary school? What was it like? Did you go to boarding school for secondary school? And what was that experience like? And what university did you go to?
Okay, so after junior high school, I went to St. Louis Senior High School in Kumasi as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I was in the boarding school. And I want to just go back to what you were saying about Ghanaians being calm and whether our nature has something to do with our upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Form 1, first year in secondary school, this is what the seniors told us, that form ones are to be seen and not heard. So that thing has a lot to do with
upbringing.
To be quiet.
Yeah.
I'm naturally a quiet person, but I also had that upbringing where
look, you don't speak unless you're spoken to.
Wow.
You don't express your opinion. You have to just be calm and composed until you're asked to speak. That's something that has to do with the Ghanaian upbringing. It's cultural. And funny enough, even though we are West Africans and we have a lot in common, the Nigerians are quite different.
Yeah.
Very different when it comes to that. They're very expressive.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I got from senior high school, unfortunately. So after secondary school, I went to Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology as well and studied law. Yes.
And when did you graduate?
I graduated in 2017. And then from then, I went to Ghana School of Law in Accra to do my professional law course. And I was called to the bar in 2019.
Oh, interesting. And why did you decide to study law as a child? Is it like... Is it like the thing where they say you can either study engineering, medicine, law, or be a failure, or whatever? For you, why did you study law?
It largely has to do with that. The professional choices in Ghana or in West Africa or Africa generally are limited because you study one course and then after your education you realize that you don't fit quite well into the job market. But other than that, I think I chose to study law at quite a young age because I was curious and my teachers encouraged me that because of my curiosity, they think I'll be a good lawyer. So I grew up thinking that, okay, I'm curious, I want to know a lot.
And when you say teachers encouraged you, why not parents? Like, would you say you had really good teachers that they would pay attention?
My parents definitely wanted me to do law from quite early, but my teachers as well, knowing my strengths and my weaknesses, they thought I was someone who liked to read, someone who liked to ask a lot of questions, and then they thought those were traits that would do well in the legal profession.
So
I grew up quite young, from class 6, knowing that, okay, I want to study law, and then I did it.
Interesting. Okay, and then for you, Ifua, so for primary school, secondary school, did you go to boarding school? Which university did you go to, and why did you decide to study law?
Yeah, very quite similar to Agnes. I went to, as I mentioned earlier, my early upbringings were in Accra, so my primary education was at Legon, and then my high school education was at St. Louis, the same as Abna, so exactly what she said about you're not supposed to be...
Wait, did you guys know each other while you were in St. Louis?
Yeah, we did.
Really?
But she was a year ahead of me.
Oh!
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Oh my God! No, I have to hear. Wait, did you guys know you were coming to Cornell together and all that?
No, we didn't.
Did you guys lose touch after St. Louis, like before university?
No, so we went to the same university as well. So I was in the same class with her in university. But we lost touch after university.
No, but she went to Kwame Nkrumah, you went to Legon.
No, I went to Kwame Nkrumah University. That's for university. For my... primary education is when I went to Legon.
Okay. Because I know there's a university called Legon too in Ghana, right?
Yeah, it has their primary school as well.
I see.
Yeah, so for university, I went to Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology as well.
That's the best university in Ghana, right?
Yeah, like that's what we are claiming.
I have a friend who went there too. I know it's well spoken of and all nations are so... I don't know. I just know that I love Nigerians also. I'm also going to ask you guys what it was like schooling in Nigeria.
But to be very honest, right now, I would say that if you want to do law, the best place to be is Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. I'm sure people would say that because Legon is known for its arts, it's better to go to Legon. But if you are looking at the stats, Kwame Nkrumah is way better if you want to pursue law.
I see.
And to answer your question about... why I wanted to do law. When I was younger, there was this inauguration of judges on TV. And the way they dressed, it might be very flimsy, it might be very childish.
No, it's not.
But the way they dressed, their robes, it all looked so exciting to me. Yeah. So that's like the earliest memory of why I wanted to do law. I remember asking my mom, oh, these judges, how do you become a judge?
Oh.
And then she told me, oh, you have to be a lawyer first before you can become a judge. So, of course, that's the earliest memory I have.
And were they Ghanaians? Were these judges Ghanaian judges?
Yeah, innovation of Ghanaian judges. Okay. It was being showed on TV. So, how they were, their robes, with the senior judges in the country, their robes are different from the lower judges. And their robes are very... They're nice.
So why do lawyers wear the white hair? Like, what's with the white hair?
Colonization, my dear.
Oh, really?
No, because, common law, and it's originating from the UK.
Okay.
And in the UK, that's how they dress.
Oh.
So if we are incorporating what the UK has taught us based on colonization, we are basically mirroring and copying what they are doing.
Oh, I see.
Exactly. So I personally think that's why, because our country is hot. We have to go these
roads. Yeah, she said hot. Like, Bani, I just learned a new Ghanaian slang today. When you were saying you were hot, you and Abna were hot. It doesn't mean... In Nigeria, when you say a girl is hot, it's like, oh, she looks, she's good looking. No. So when you kept saying, me, I'm hot, I'm like, wow, okay.
No, I meant I'm hot as in I have too much going on.
No,
right
yeah,
now.
I see. Busy. I see.
So that's my earliest memory of wanting to be. And I think the influence from my parents as well. Mm. I think I mentioned earlier, I have parents who are lawyers.
Mm.
So mirroring their lifestyle and how far they've come,
It's
also encouraging. And hearing their stories when they go to court.
Yeah.
So all of that influenced my decision.
Well, that's very interesting to see, actually. And I see both of you actually started from much younger. Like, because, well, me, it was hard trying to know what I wanted to do. I don't think any teacher, the only teacher that ever encouraged me, asked me to go into writing. Because I was in literary and press and debating. And I used to write, like, the best essays in my assignments. But that was it. But what you said about dressing up, too. I remember that, for me, I wanted to come an accountant because I liked the way bankers in Nigeria used to dress then. You know, wearing suits and heels. And I thought, wow, I want to look like this. But when I took that to my beautiful Nigerian parents that I'm always grateful for, but they're like, accounting? That no, but you can do engineering, you can, you know, and they started suggesting other things, and they went oil and gas industry too. So, and I mean, I can't blame them, because at that time, that was where the money was. So, of course, they will encourage you to do that. But now I have a sister in my house who might be studying law. She's going to be the first in our family, and everybody's happy for her and whatnot. Anyway, thank you. Anyway, so thank you for sharing that. And I wanted to ask, let me ask Abna first. What was it like schooling in Nigeria? I know I had a lot of friends from my high school who actually came to Ghana to school, and I hear there's the good and the bad, but did you have any Nigerian friends when you were at Kwame Nkrumah? No? Yes.
Okay. We had a few Nigerians in our class. I think there were about 10 or 12. Yes. They kind of used to do stuff together. Just like how communities come together. Close knit. So I didn't get to interact with them much, unfortunately. And I don't have much to say. I had one Nigerian friend, but she left right after first year. She went to school in the UK. She was actually my friend, but the rest of them not so much. They were always sitting together and paddling together.
But when they were in class, were they like, excuse me, sir, you know, were they always like asking questions in class, you know, throwing parties?
Enough.
No?
Yeah, so maybe they were the calm Nigerians. The calm Nigerians, because these Nigerians, they were very, I remember there was this a girl called Daluchi, Thelma, if I'm remembering correctly, like they were really nice.
So wait, are you saying other Nigerians are not nice? Please.
Oh no, like my experience with them, I'm actually still in contact with these girls I mentioned.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Dalu was calm. So I don't know whether maybe that's just their personality trait.
Yeah, possibly.
They were influenced by the Ghanaians they were studying with. Nigerians were very quiet.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, we're still growing up too. That's like teenage age. So people are still finding themselves.
One thing I realized about the Nigerians who came to study in Ghana, they were much, much younger than the rest of us.
Oh.
So we're always wondering how they pulled that off. I think in our first year, someone was even 15.
That's common. I think that's common back home.
It's common for you.
It's common for people.
Like 18.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah, it's common for people to go in 14, 15, 16. I went in at 17, but I think that's uncommon. Okay, so after all of this studying law, you guys are happy. You were called to bar. Were you called to bar as well, Ifa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
bar. So after all of that, why did you decide to come get a master's in Cornell or in the US? Why did you? What influenced your decision to come to?
Do you want the truth?
Is your truth? So please, I want the full truth. So yeah, let me start with Ifa. So why did you decide to come to the US? Like, what if, first of all, when you were called to bar, did you work? Like, just walk us through the process from when you started working and why you decided to come to the US.
Yeah, so in Ghana, once you've been called to the bar, there's something called pupillage. So the pupillage is also like a working period. So pupillage is around 6 months to a year. Previously it was depending on the firm, but right now the law is that pupillage is for 6 months. So I did pupillage with a judge, right, and that was for 6 months. And then right after my pupillage, or even before my pupillage,
what is pupillage, by the way?
Okay, so pupillage is when you, because you are a new lawyer that has come out, the practice is that they don't believe that you are equipped to go before a judge.
Mm.
You are still rough. You need guidance.
Mm.
So you are paired with a lawyer who is 10 years at the bar or more.
Mm.
So you can apply to various firms, and then through your practice with the lawyer, mm-hmm. once people age is over, the perception is that, okay, now you are qualified enough to appear before a judge.
Mm.
You've learned enough to know what it means to appear before a judge, the procedure it takes to appear before a judge. So that's entirely what pupillage is about.
Right.
So after pupillage, or even before pupillage ended, I started applying to law firms, because even after pupillage, depending on where you went, if it's with a judge or if it's a law firm, there's no guarantee that you would stay with that particular law firm. So it's best to maybe apply to other firms, to figure out your chances.
Yeah,
so I applied to a law firm, and I was fortunate enough, I went for an interview and then I was picked.
Mm.
So I started working with the law firm as a junior associate.
Oh,
and cool. I'm still with the law firm as a now as a junior associate, because I took a steady leave.
Oh.
I didn't want to take chances and then resign, come here, go back and start the whole interview looking for a job process all over again.
Wow.
So my law firm was kind enough to grant me a steady leave, and then I was given a steady leave, and then I came here.
So that, so that now is making sense. But anyway, just clarify, AFOA is the one who wants to go back to Ghana. Abla is the one who wants to stay in the US.
Yes.
So you understand each person's stories. And in you coming back, like, are you going to get higher pay rise, higher
role? So, like, to answer the second part of your question about why I applied to Cornell, why I wanted to do my master's. So, in Ghana, whether we like it or not, you know, name matters. So, in applying to do my master's, I looked into Ivy League schools. Predominantly, like, Ivy League schools, of course, meaning in the U.S. So, I applied to 5 schools. I applied to Cornell, Columbia, UPenn, Georgetown, and Berkeley.
These are all good schools.
Yeah, they are. I was ambitious. I was ambitious. As you should be.
And then I was fortunate enough to get into these schools. So it now boiled down.
You got to all 5?
Yeah, so Georgetown put me on their wait list, but then...
Look at you now. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then it now boiled down to which school was going to assist me in terms of fees. Because let's be honest, the prices, the fees are quite exorbitant.
What's the tuition here for law school?
Yeah, so for law school, everything sums up to 98,000 and some change. But the tuition itself is 71,000 and some change.
For a year.
For a year, exactly.
Okay.
And then I was fortunate enough that the law school gave me a partial scholarship of 40,000.
Okay.
So with that, it was, as compared to the scholarships I got from the other schools, Cornell was the best option.
And so what would you say helped you get that scholarship or qualify for the scholarship?
To be honest, I didn't necessarily do anything spectacular. I'm sure maybe my personal statements and my grades is what helped. Because for Cornell, I didn't apply for any special scholarship on the side. My scholarship came from the law school itself.
Along with your admission.
Exactly, along with my admission. So I didn't do anything. But for Columbia, for example, in applying, there were so many scholarships. And I applied for, there was this one called the Human Rights Scholarship. And sadly, I didn't get that scholarship. So when Columbia gave me scholarship, it was very small. So comparatively to that of Cornell, the best choice was coming to Cornell. That's the main reason.
Okay, thank you for sharing it for us. So then let's go to Abna. Abna, please walk us through, like, when, after being called to bar, what did you do in Ghana before coming, and why did you choose to apply to the US?
Okay, so after I was called to the bar in 2019, it's quite similar to what Efua did, so it would sound quite repetitive. I applied for jobs, and I started my pupillage in one of the law firms in Accra. I practiced for 2 years. I did mainly litigation, and I also did some corporate compliance work. And after the pandemic, I planned to come to school right before the pandemic. So I started my applications, and this pandemic came up, so everything just was halted. So the following year, I reapplied, and actually I had some schools that I deferred my admission for, but I didn't go to any of those ones. I think that was Georgetown and Fordham. But I changed my mind and decided to look at the Ivy League schools, because of course, Ivy League is, once you go to an Ivy League, the world is your stage. There are lots of opportunities that are available for you.
Yeah.
So I settled on Cornell.
to do my master's and law degree here, and now I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing, guys. Okay, so I see a very steady process in your life. Okay, but would you say like you have other friends that have it this easy? I'm sure it wasn't easy anyway, but like would you say you're proud of yourselves, you know, with how your life has progressed gradually? Did you set out wanting to do a master's in law degree or?
Yeah, certainly. So I'm from a household where my parents don't believe your basic education is over till you're done with your master's. And I think a lot of Ghanaian families can say the same thing in terms of how education is very important, right? To as like part of our value system and all of that. So yeah, I did set out. I knew from early on that I was going to be doing my master's. Whether I did this immediately after law school, 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, I knew the master's, whether I liked it or not. Once I'm my father and mother's daughter, I was doing the master's. So I would say that I've been fortunate enough. I don't know whether everybody has had this opportunity, because let's not kid ourselves. The application fees, coming to these schools, you need some assistance. It's either you're getting it from, maybe you've worked hard enough to get that money to pay for these application fees to these schools. But then if you're also fortunate enough to have family to help you, that really goes a long way. So yeah, I think
I definitely agree to. And Abna, did you also get funding coming to Cornell University?
Yes, I also got partial funding, like it was on with my admission. And the other schools, I didn't get funding at all. I think Fordham gave me a very small amount, which couldn't even compare to what Cornell gave me. So that was one of the motivating factors for why I came here.
And okay, I'll continue with Abna. So for your schooling here in 1 year, like, what is one thing you love and one thing you hate about the US? Like, what is your most favorite thing and your least favorite thing? And then also, what's the Cornell experience like? So for other Ghanaians who are trying to come to do law school in Ghana, like, should they come or should they change their mind? But no, truthfully, I see the green on you guys' faces. Trust me. And even when people reach out to me on LinkedIn and tell me, oh my God, I got into Cornell, and I'm like, don't come. Don't do it. Don't do it. But... but you know, like I said, so like for that, just share your experience of coming to the US and all that.
So wait, what was the first question you asked?
So yeah, I'm actually okay. So my first question was, what's the most favorite thing and your least favorite thing? And then how has the Cornell Law School experience been?
Yeah.
Okay, my most favorite thing I would say is experiencing a challenge. Generally, in my professional career, in my profession and in my academic life, I'm drawn to things that I find challenging. Mm-hmm. I feel successful after I've been able to overcome a challenge. Mm-hmm. So my experience here, I would say, has been very intellectually challenging. Mm. You sit in class with people from so many other countries, the Asians, the Indians, the Americans, and then some of the questions they ask you are like, how did you even think of this? Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So it challenges you intellectually.
Yeah.
And also personally, there are lots of things that you discover about yourself that I've discovered about myself here, just interacting with other people and... Yeah, so I think the challenge of a new environment is something I found intriguing.
Yeah.
On the other side, what I didn't like was I also discovered so many loopholes in my own education and my own upbringing that makes me look back and say, I should have done this.
Yeah.
I should have gone to school here when I had the chance.
Yeah.
I should have even done this course. So it makes you...
Sorry, let's back up. What do you mean by you should have gone? Did you have an opportunity to school outside of Ghana?
Yes. As a point, I had an opportunity to school in the UK.
Oh.
That was after my LLB, after my undergraduate degree. Instead of going to law school, I could have gone the UK track and been called to the bar in the UK and all of that.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So it's also made me look back and think, should I have taken certain decisions in my life? Because I feel like my education would have been more complete. So it makes you soul search. But then again, I think about it and I feel like, oh, I'm still content where I am.
Yeah.
I'm an attorney in my country, which is the most important place to me, even though I'm here and exploring opportunities.
Well, I love the patriotism from you guys. I've got, I feel like I used to be like you guys before in Nigeria, but it's really winning. Like, I wish I could say something like this. I'm an engineer in my country. What? I'm so inspired. Okay, so I'm not almost running away from this question, but if I'm coming to you closely, what was the law school experience like at Cornell? I want you to see. I'm starting with you, Abna.
I think it would be better for you to start with Efua. The law school experience at Cornell. Well, I'm not the best person to answer this question because I'm an introvert. So it takes me a longer time to be able to network and make friends and all of that. And my time here is just 9 months. So I haven't had a very wholesome experience, I must say. The best part of my experience has been academically, not socially. Socially, I've made some acquaintances. Some people have been really nice. I've gone to a few gatherings and parties and tried to connect as much as possible. But personally, the time is too short for me to establish so many contacts and all of that. But the law school,
first of all, can I cut you? I'm so sorry. So actually, another impression I had of you guys, I think even after when I had newly met you guys, I was like, I met these two girls at church from Ghana, and they're like, oh, those ones, they don't like to go out. You invite them for stuff and they don't go. I'm like, oh really, they look nice to me. So I already had that impression of you guys. That, and remember at the brunch when Ifa told me that she was not coming, I was like, oh my god, they're actually those people. But then you guys still showed up. You guys, by the way, you see them in my vlog. I have a vlog on my Instagram where you can, if you can put a face to their names, if one have a. But okay, to continue. So yeah, I hear you about this.
Back to the Ghanaian thing about how you're always like naturally introverted and not wanting to go anywhere. And, well, as we mentioned, we live very sheltered lives, so it's difficult to break out of that. So Ifa, I think you should answer about the law school experience.
So let's go to Ifa. So Ifa, what has been your Cornell Law School experience like?
It's quite similar to Abnes, to be very honest. I think that I had so many expectations coming in, thinking that, oh, I was going to meet so many new people, connect, make new friends internationally, open up. But it didn't happen that way. I don't know whether it's my own fault or just the way the society was when I came in. But to be honest, I think it's my own fault. I think I could have done better trying to get to know more people. But I was just so comfortable. Fortunately or unfortunately, I had somebody who I knew coming in. So it didn't So it didn't make me, it didn't force me to break out of my shell. If maybe I was alone, that would have probably would have been a different story. If I didn't have somebody coming in. And mind you, we also had another friend who was going to be coming in with us. So coming in, I already had the mindset that, oh, I'm good. Like I'm coming with people. I'll be fine. Of course, I would like to make friends, but it's not like, it's not by force. It's not mandatory because I have somebody I can be rolling with every day. And it just so happens that, especially with this semester, we took, similar classes together. So it made it much more easier, being much more comfortable, not forcing me to open up. Because if I was in classes where, I was alone, I'll be forced to talk to somebody sitting next to me or like just talk to much more people. But then that didn't happen.
So would you say that the experience is, so now, you know, here they make it a big deal with networking, professional, like build your network. When you become alumni, you're going to need these people, all that and all that. So now that you're rounding up your program, would you say, do you really feel like you lost anything? Like you're missing out on anything?
I think the networking depends on what you're coming here for and your next steps. So for someone like me who wants to go back to Ghana, I think at the forefront of my mind, networking was not major. Because if you know you're going to be staying here or you are seeking opportunities here, networking is very important. Because you need to get to know people, and people might even link you to law firms and stuff like that. So it'll be very important to network. It doesn't take away from the fact that generally everybody has to network, but knowing what your plans are makes it much more decisive whether you're going to be networking or not. So I think knowing that I was going to be going back, it didn't push me.
Although I still think you need it.
So I have one tip. Knowing how I am and how I'm introverted and all of that, I put myself in certain situations where I necessarily have to network. So, for instance, I quickly signed on to be a teaching assistant so I can interact with other students who weren't even in my year group. I'm also working as a research assistant. I'll have to interact with other professors who don't even teach me. So that's something that helped me network a bit and establish some form of network here.
Oh, you must be such a nerd. Like I was thinking she was going to say I started going to parties, or I've been accepting invites.
I tried going to parties. I think
I went for a few. Like, I'll always try.
No, yeah, we, yeah. I mean, yeah, even I met you guys at other parties too. Don't mind me, I'm just kidding.
But. Even in the law school, I'll always, when there's an event or they announce something, that, oh, we have Halloween, we have we have Thanksgiving, we have something for fall, I'll say, if we're, let's go. Let's go.
Go, yeah.
So we'll just show up and try and talk to as many people as we can.
I see. But it seems to me that you guys are actually very academically sound, of course, even though you won't be here. But so for me, I really struggled with the education system when I came here. I don't know if it's, how, what's A star for you guys in law school? Do you guys have the A star, A, B plus? What's your grading system so like?
The master's curve, and with that, you have high honors, honors.
What's that?
So for high honors, it means you got an A plus or an A.
Oh, honors! Oh my god, this Ghanaian accent! That's not even. I heard honors! Oh my god, I'm so sorry! Honors! Oh, please, for my Nigerian people, they mean honors! Okay, hi Ernest. Oh my god.
Am I saying it the right way, Abna?
Honors, no. Okay, hi honors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are the others? To be honest, okay, this is how the master's curve compares with the
JD
curve. The JD is the doctor of law.
Mm-hmm.
Program here, or the Juris Doctor
mm-hmm.
course, they use the normal grading system, which is A plus, A
minus.
B plus. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's so. Ours is high honors for an A plus,
mm-hmm.
honors for an A or A minus or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have high honors, honors, satisfactory, mm-hmm. and unsatisfactory. So it's those four, and then. The A and the B falls somewhere
in between.
Yeah.
To me, I think that's still fair because I remember when I came here. I mean, I'm sure the workload is different. Maybe that's why it's graded differently. But I hated myself during spring semester. Spring semester was my toughest semester. I've spent two falls now and one spring here. But that spring that I had, I thought I was going to die. Like, there were so many... trying to prioritize your time, the academics, and then you see yourself fighting to do so well in your academics, and yet you end up with a B plus. And B plus is what? 89, which is still a very good score, right? But that's a B plus, and it's heavy for a 4-unit class, you know, that it could really do a lot to your CGPA. And so I just really hated being here. I just hated the fact that I had to work. They had to put me in groups. And it was too late by the time I hacked it that if I kept taking a lot of managerial classes, which is why I decided to do engineering management anyway, I'll be put in groups. My grades would depend on other people in the class, your grades will be curved, and these are people who don't even care. I mean, I was going to school with MBA graduates. Please, no shade to all my MBA friends. I mean, that their grades were non-disclosure, like no recruiters or companies were not required to ask for their grades, so they could do the hell whatever they wanted to, you know. If you know, but for us in college of engineering, where everything, you know, if you know what it's like to be with engineers, you know, everyone is trying to do the most, and then. So it was really tough for me to come to that place to accept that I was still good enough, even though my grades, I mean, some grades will not reflect it, some might. But for you guys, did you have that challenge, and how did you over, like, you know, this mental health thing? I finally accepted that I was maybe, you know, there are days I would feel like, I think I'm having anxiety. I think I'm scared. You know, those words that we don't use in Africa, back at home. So it was really eye opening for me. But let me start with Ifa. For you, did you ever go through that, and how did you overcome?
I even wanted to say this. Like, for starters, for anybody who is trying to apply to any of the schools here, like, one encouraging thing, this is my viewpoint, I may be wrong, but in Ghana, it seems like sometimes when the professors and lecturers are grading you, they are looking for ways to try and make you fail.
That's
I may be wrong, maybe people have different people have different experiences, but one encouraging thing I can say is, here, if you put the work in, you're going to pass. I can speak mainly for law school. If you do put the work in, there's like, the professors here are much more encouraging. They are trying to help you pass. Professors might even reach out to you when you haven't reached out to them, reaching out to you, asking you, do you need help with this particular paper you're writing? If you need materials, my doors are always open. Like, I've had that experience, so I can say that's one encouraging thing I can say for anybody who is trying to apply to Cornell. I can't speak for the other Ivy League schools, but I'm sure it might be the same thing. But for Cornell, that's one encouraging thing. One challenging thing, another thing, when we came initially, we had this course called Introduction to American Legal System.
my day, I tell you. It was like this robust course. Like, we get to Cornell, we haven't necessarily settled yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you take this 2-week robust course and you're supposed to write exam at the end, like I think 2 days after the course has ended.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time to, in Ghana, usually in exams, once the semester has ended, you have about 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
or a week, roughly 3 weeks to prepare for examination. That's one thing, one big cultural shock I had over mm-hmm. here in terms of the academics.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any time, speaking for the law school,
mm-hmm.
you don't have any time to prepare. So as the semester is unfolding, you must be preparing for exam
yeah.
as the semester is unfolded.
Yeah.
Going back to the IELTS course I was talking about, we finished the course on a Friday. My dear, tell me, Monday we were starting the exam.
What?
And you are supposed to cram everything that was taught to you the 2 week period
mm-hmm.
and write the exam on Monday.
And I'm sure the questions are not objective. It's not like, you know how it is in Ghana. Is it like,
okay, with this one, it wasn't objective, but it wasn't essay either. It was mm-hmm. Answers.
So it was
essay. A required paragraph answers.
Oh,
then of course, if you put the work in and you study, mm-hmm. you would pass.
Mm-hmm.
Here, that's the thing. As I keep on repeating,
mm-hmm.
the professors here tend to pass you if they see an effort has been placed in your work.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Ghana,
yeah. If it wasn't perfect, your grade can be perfect.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So if you work hard, you mm-hmm. can't get the A+. You
mm-hmm.
can't get the A-, you can't get the B. Okay, we are all not striving for B's.
Yeah.
But you can't get the A+, you can't get... And speaking of, like, Abna did well. Like, we did well.
Look at you really hyping
up. Oh, yeah. Like, yes, I was really proud of her when she... There's this thing in the law school called... What's
Dean's
called?
List. Kali Award.
Kali Award. She got, like...
What does Kali stand for?
Like, the best student in a particular course.
Okay, Abna.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm coming to you shortly, Abna.
Yeah, so in the law school, there are certain courses that's... that have Kali Awards attached to it. And I think last semester she did one of these courses that had a Kali Award attached. I remember when she told me about the whole Kali Award, she was so excited. And you see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I think how she studied was based on how maybe she studied in Ghana.
Mm.
The kind of efforts she put in Ghana.
It's true.
So because how you know in Ghana, the professor is going to fail you.
Yeah.
So you have to...
Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
We us like always having to study first principle. Like back at home, you have to prove it. But here it's like they give you a whole cheat sheet with all the... I remember I took an operations class in business school. They actually call it cheat sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But the requirement is that it cannot be more than one page in front and one page at the back. I'm like, wow, for free? You give me a cheat in this country? Yeah. Must be nice.
Open book.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's open book.
Wow. So thank you for sharing. So if Madam Kali Awards, making us proud. So for you, like, what was you actually said you enjoy how academically or intellectually challenging can be. So why do you enjoy it? That means I'm guessing you didn't struggle, or if you did, how did you overcome it? Did you also take this introduction to American legal system class?
It's mandatory for everything.
So how did you do, and you know, how did you end up with the Kali Award?
Kali Award, I don't know how I ended up with this, honestly.
That's such a humble, honestly, humility.
I don't know how I ended up with this, yes.
Wow.
That particular course has been the most difficult course for me in this entire... But I really studied this because I knew that, look, I don't understand this course so much. I have to do everything I can to pass. So I did everything. I attacked it from all angles. And when it came, they said Kali Award. I was like, wow, okay. But back to the law school experience, I would advise a lot of law students or lawyers who are thinking of coming to the US to come to Cornell, because the teaching is amazing. The training is amazing.
Mm.
Like, there are certain skills that even though I'm a lawyer, I realized I was lacking.
Mm.
For instance, last semester, I did a transactional lawyering competition.
Mm.
So you get to compete with other lawyers from different countries. Mm. Like, it's very good. I've done mediation. I've done mock mediations. I've done negotiations. And I'm going to do an arbitration on Saturday.
Wow.
So it really teaches you literally everything that you need to know practically and from a book to be able to succeed in the legal profession. So the law school is very amazing.
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that. Yeah. But I was going to ask what challenges you faced and how you overcame them, like academically.
Okay, so like Efwa said, the professors are great. For instance, this Kali Award that I won last semester, the professor was literally available 24/7, about a week to the paper. You can call him anytime, any day, and he's available to just explain into detail everything that he already taught in class. So the professors were really helpful, I would say.
Okay, so that's I'm happy to hear you guys have good things to say about law school.
I was going to follow up with what Abna was saying about the courses we took here. This semester I took this clinic. That's another thing about Cornell Law School. You have these clinics which are very competitive to get into. So thumbs up to anybody who gets into.
Why is it called a clinic?
And because with the clinic you are doing just practical work.
Okay.
So you actually have real clients you are helping. So I was in this international human rights clinic, and we had this client called Melissa Lucio, and she was on she was being convicted for murder of her daughter, and was the punishment was that she was supposed to be executed. She was supposed to actually be executed last 27th, that's this past Wednesday. And the clinic worked so hard, like we had to go all the way to Texas to talk to jurors who sat on her case to determine whether if they had maybe new evidence, would they have ruled differently.
Oh my god, it feels like a movie, like all these movies.
To be honest, my dear, this semester it was crazy. I'm not even going to kid. But then we worked very hard, and right now if you have to ask me, she's not free, but she's not going to be executed. The court is giving her a new trial. Based on our efforts as a clinic. And the clinic, we are just 12, but you wonder, okay, how did 12 people manage all of this? But it goes to show you how devout the professors we have are to our clients. So I would encourage anybody who is even applying to look into these clinics. I know Abnati was in a clinic this semester where they're also helping. It's about the securities clinic, right?
Securities lawyer.
Yeah.
But you know, before you go on, first of all, and this is probably just a segue, but please, when you have cases with clients, you know how in movies, you know, we know if they're right or wrong, if they did it or not. For you, do you have to believe, is it your job to think whether she did it or not? Like,
honestly, growing up,
do you know what it is for them to convict a mom of killing her daughter? Like, do you ever face ethics issues like, oh, I'm not going to defend her, like what if she actually did it? Or your duties to your client, for you, what was that like?
Okay, for this particular client, Melissa Lucio, coming in, the client had been there from the last semester, the fall semester, and I joined the clinic in the spring semester. So coming in, I was, of course, like anybody, I had my doubts. But then looking at the evidence that we had, right, it showed that she did not kill her daughter. Sometimes the evidence is quite glaring, and you wonder why maybe the defense counsels, prosecution counsels made such obvious mistakes.
Can I ask her race?
She's Hispanic.
Okay.
She's
I'll stop there.
Let's go.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Let's graduate in peace.
Exactly.
She's Hispanic, but that doesn't take away from the fact that unfortunately in the United States there are oftentimes false confessions, false convictions. So she just so happened to be one of those unfortunate people who were dealt a bad hand.
Yeah.
But clearly it also shows that the system does work.
Yeah.
Because right now she's not in a position of being executed.
Oh my god. So, and I can imagine that you all would have been fighting, because you're fighting for someone's life.
Wednesday I did not eat, my dear. We're waiting for our professor to come and tell us that waiting for what the court was going to say.
And luckily, and now death by execution or by rule, is it the chemical one in the chair or by hanging?
So it depends on the state. Not every state in the US actually practices the death penalty. So mind you, Melissa was convicted in the state of Texas. So some of the southern states do have the death penalty. Exactly. And depending on the states, they have the means of execution. So not every state practices the same means of execution. So it varies from state to state.
Interesting. Well, this is very interesting. And is there an interesting story from your clinic as well, Abna? What do you do in a securities clinic?
Okay, so the securities law clinic, we help investors who have been victims of investment fraud, excessive trading, and all that with their investment banks. Like if you buy shares in, let's say, Twitter, and some unfortunate incident happens, usually they come to clinics to help them. We have a case that has been quite slow that I was working on. It was an elderly man who... Am I supposed to be sharing this?
Exactly, I just realized.
You can share, Melissa Lucio,
because okay, yours is
public, but okay.
Okay, yours is attorney-client privilege. Okay. you know, it just occurred to me too. But all these things, did you guys ever watch Suits? That was the first season I ever watched as in my adult life. And I remember I just loved Harvey, Jessica, you know, all the, are those things real? All those court cases. Is it real?
Too much drama. And I don't think in Ghana, certainly not. Okay. That's not how the practice goes at all. You really deceive yourself if you think that's what's like, that's what happens.
So you guys don't wear nice suits, go to the court, bash the judge, you know, pull a micros on them. None of judge. Them.
You'd be cited for contempt. You find your ass in the prison.
Yeah, okay, I see that too.
Yeah. But of course, like you can dress nicely, but then the other side is that you are covered. You are wearing a wig and gown. Oh. If you are fortunate and you go to a court where the judge is very flexible and so the thing is that when you go to a court, most often, if the judge is not robed, it's much more respectful as a lawyer to not be robed.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Okay. But then when you go and the judge is in their full regalia, you cannot go just walking in with your suit.
So wait, you mean having them, they like how?
No, it might be different in the US. The US, they don't wear the whole wig and gown.
Yeah.
Of course, in the, I told you that we got our whole system from the UK.
Yeah. Okay, so yes. Okay.
But in the US, I'm sure in terms of dressing, it might be like what you see on suits. Mm. But in terms of procedure, how the law goes, I think it's entirely different. Suits is too dramatic.
Yeah. Okay, now so to round up, I wanted you guys to share this whole story because I wanted to bring you guys into the final question. Why are you staying, Abna, and why are you not staying, Ifa? But let me start with Abna. So for you, Abna, why in all of this, in all this fun you seem to be having, like in law school and all of that, why have you decided to stay? What's the career space looking for like for you here, and what practice do you want to go into and all of that?
This is a tough question that Tolu has been asking me for a while.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I know how it can be to ask about job and all of that, but it's also fine to talk about if you're still waiting and all of that, because it's still a process and it's still a journey. And the truth is that you're still going to end up somewhere, you know. But it just takes time. Whatever, you can share whatever you're comfortable with either way.
Oh no, it's not necessarily about even getting a job or anything, but as to why I'm staying. I'm wondering if I have a clear cut answer for that, but generally I feel like I'm not quite done with my experience in the US. I want to have a career that has international presence, and 9 months studying in an Ivy League, fine, that's great, but I feel like I'm not quite done. I want to have some work experience. I want to make more connections, and I want to have international presence, and I don't think it's enough. And looking back in Ghana, most of the people that I would think are successful, I would say that they did spend a couple of years in other
countries
before they came back and built a career that I find admirable. So that's one of the reasons why I'm still searching for my next step here in the US. So that's where I am now.
And what industry in law do you want to go into?
Okay,
so not sure I'm using the right jargon.
I'm interested in the financial services industry. I'm also interested in corporate law, international trade, transactional law, stuff like that. So basically business law, I would say. So I think that all the successful Ghanaian lawyers that I admire have had very strong international presence and still have ties to the US or UK or these other admirable countries.
Okay.
And then that's why I'm still searching for my next step here.
And how has the job search been going for people in law school? What's the OPT like? Do they sponsor? What visas do they give you guys? Like if you were to get a job?
So the job search for LLMs is very difficult, I must say. It's much easier to do the Juris Doctor program. The Juris Doctor is a recognized law degree, the main law degree here in the US. The LLM is sort of like an additional specialized thing that you do to add value to yourself. So it's very difficult for LLMs because you're recognized as a foreign associate or a foreign lawyer. So you have to look for a space where they want they are looking for lawyers from Africa or lawyers from Ghana or a company that has some sort of business or presence in Ghana or Africa. That's where we fit in best. Other than that, we fit into international organizations and in-house roles where you don't necessarily practice as a lawyer.
Yeah. And what's different between LLM and JD, by the way?
So the LLM is a one-year course. For most Ivy Leagues, you get to choose the courses that you're interested in. So I chose courses like business organizations, financial institutions, M&A, foreign direct investment. But the Juris Doctor course, that's like for Ghanaians and Africans, that's like doing an LLB. But instead of it being an undergraduate course, it's a graduate course. So you have to do a normal undergraduate course before you come and do the Juris Doctor for 3 years. Oh, that's how it is here. So after your Juris Doctor, then you write whatever bar exam, whether it's New York or whichever state exam that you want to write. That's the normal track for becoming a lawyer here in the US.
What of law school?
Which law school?
Here
the law school is just 3 years. Instead of doing an LLB for 4 years in Ghana and doing 2 years of professional law to become a lawyer in Ghana, here you just need an undergraduate degree, any undergraduate degree at all, and decide that, oh, I now want to be a lawyer. So then you go and do your Juris Doctorate for 3 years, and then you write the bar. That's the track here to become a lawyer.
That's 7 years?
That's 7 years.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
4 years undergraduate, 3 years.
And engineers will be there feeling themselves. 7 years. Even I know medicine too is like double of that. And then engineering is 4-5 years and we're done. Wow, that's interesting. So yes, Ifwa, our lovely Ghanaian patriot. Thank you so much, by the way, Amna, for sharing that. And I forgot. What visas do they give you when you get a job here? Is it H-1B or G visas or... So, I hear it's different for legal practitioners.
It's the same. We have a 1 year OPT, and then if you get a company that sponsors you, get the H1B. It's the same.
But it's 1 year. Is there anything like STEM law?
We don't have the STEM, the whole STEM thing. We just have 1 year OPT, and then if you are fortunate, you get an H1B.
Okay. So I'm wishing you all the best, Abna, in your next process. So yeah, back to you, Ifwa, even as a roundup. So why are you going back to Ghana? I know. And guys, let me just give you a backdrop. So Amna has 60 days to stay in the... Sorry, Ifwa has 60 days to stay in the US even after graduation. And we graduate May 28th. 60 days is what? 2 months. So you won't have till July. Abi, you were supposed to... Shimu has a lease till end of June. And her flight was June 3rd, but she moved her flight up to May 14th. Please, are you not as confused as I am? Like, why are you such in a hurry to go back? We're all ears.
Okay. Let me start from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I personally think usually, you know, what you hear from family, what you hear from your parents growing up, a lot of times shapes your value system, shapes how you perceive things, what you believe. So my parents are from like have very humble beginnings, but have made it, what you say, have made it in life and inverted. Yeah. I hope they can't see me, but I'm doing this.
Yeah. And look at you being humble, but it's fine.
And growing up, I also had extended family who really, even though they were in the States, in other countries, really struggled. So the whole maybe American dream, the whole living outside, the whole concept of Boga is somebody who lives outside and comes home and is looking...
Is that a Ghanaian slang?
It's a Ghanaian slang.
Like Boga, like hamburger. Like
B-O-R-G-A. I think
B-O-R-G-A. I think Nigeria is called IJGB. I just got back. But okay.
Wasn't appealing because my mom used to say, if you are in your country, you work hard, you make a name for yourself, you can easily be comparable to somebody living in the States. Of course, the money is different.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So hearing that over and over again, growing up as a child, always hearing you can make it if you work hard in your country. You can make it if you work hard in your country, and also having seen it in the lives of my parents, it was it was a no-brainer. Yeah. So I always had like my life has always been planned.
Mm.
Even though I spoke to recently this friend of ours, Ayu, who said that you plan but then invite God into your plan.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've always had this plan for my life, knowing that okay, become a lawyer, come here, do a master's in an Ivy League school, come back to Ghana, knowing how our Ghanaian society is, having an Ivy League education takes you very far.
Yeah.
So having an Ivy League education on my CV will push me, especially in the government sector, to a very good position.
Yeah.
This is the part where I might disagree with Abner a bit, because my mom is somebody I really mirror my life with, and she has had a lot of international opportunity, despite the fact that she didn't do most of her schooling in the US or in the international sphere. Okay, she did do her PhD in the US, but that wasn't the reason why she got the international opportunities working with the UN.
Mm.
So having high governmental positions opened those doors for her working in the UN, because usually in Ghana, I would say that when you're in maybe a high governmental position, when any opportunity comes up with the UN or any international body, they usually take people in the government sector for those roles. So being positioned in that place gave her those opportunities to.
And it was a Ghanaian that was the president of the UN, right?
Yeah, Kofi Annan for some time.
What of now? Is he still there?
No, he's unfortunately he's passed away.
Oh, I see.
So having that and seeing that at the back of my mind, I'm like, I do have international goals in mind, and I think I've mentioned it to Abner before, but having seen how my mom did it makes me think that I can do it. Well, even though I'm in Ghana, it doesn't take away from the fact that I may not be based here. So my mindset is not being limited, and of course maybe I can see I'm just comfortable and I don't want to struggle in another man's country. So
I also love the energy. No, it's true, because it's a rat race. It becomes a rat race sometimes,
and it becomes hard, and I don't want to have miss home. Of course, like working hard and making it here, why not? Like the dollars you'd be earning in a law firm here can't be compared to what I'm being paid back home in Ghana.
And what's the annual salary for a lawyer
in the US? We are talking, if we are in a very good firm, we are talking around $200,000 a year.
Wow.
Right, Abner?
250. She makes me get stressed face. Like, don't insult my future salary. Wow, 250. And you know, that's like software engineering roles.
The range is from 190 to 250,000 for big law firms. For public interest, it should be about, the least should be about 60,000 to 60 to 90. But for big law firms and for corporate law, it's about 190 to 250,000.
No, that's good money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So that's what I'm saying. So for my main reasons, let me in rehash.
And wait, just to confirm, $190,000 to $250,000, right? Let's just add that.
Dollars. Oh, I'm sorry. We are talking big money.
But for Ghana, have you done comparison? What's that like?
Oh, it's nothing compared. Like in my law firm currently, I don't want to put my firm on blast, but I'm told right now they are paying about 4,000 Ghana cedis. That's the main amount for a junior associate,
and that's at 12. That's what, like 48, so like 50-ish.
Yeah.
But that should be a lot. Wait, did you say cedis or dollars?
No, dollars. Cedis. Ghana.
Oh. But you put money is close. Like your currency is still good. Like 6-7 cedis makes $1, right?
So that's like $571 a month.
She's already
calculated. Yeah, but that's aside what you get in commissions.
Oh.
So depending on how many cases you bring a month, your pay may increase. But then what I'm talking, the 4,000 is the base salary.
Mm.
Yeah. So of course, but that's for my law firm having a corporate setting.
Yeah.
And for Ghana, that's not bad.
Yeah.
But then my plan eventually is to go into the public sector.
Yeah.
And going into the public sector, you need some kind of international exposure, for which reason I came to do my master's at an Ivy League school. Because if we are being honest with ourselves, if I'm to apply for a job, it's sad, but that's just the reality. In applying for jobs, sometimes in comparing the schools, all these things are taken into consideration in getting the job. So it boosts my chances in working in a governmental institution. I hope it does boost my chance. Don't let me get ahead of myself.
No, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, but I hope it does boost. So that's like the main reason. So hearing all the time that you can make it in Ghana if you work hard, seeing it happen in the life of my parents is the main reason why I'm so sure that I want to go back, because they can work for me.
So you think that you making it doesn't necessarily have to do with your government. It's about the individual. You know, because if as a Nigerian, I wanted to believe that for myself too. I feel like even just the economic scene in my country, how a lot of things are, I feel like my success might still be hinged, you know, or like stopped. But for you, would you say your government is also doing a good job to making like Ghanaians like you who believe in your country do well?
Partly. When I mention my parents, mind you, my parents, I'm sure maybe some people can relate to it, were brought up in the village.
Okay.
Like they grew up, my mom grew up with her grandparents, my dad grew up with his grandparents, and they managed to find, like, come out of that whole setting and find a place for themselves. Of course, during their time, some may say it was easier then, but I think that now it may be a bit, like, it might be a little difficult, but then they've opened the door for us to also try and do better. So I'll say our governments can help in the sense that if you do better for yourself, why is there any reason why the government will not employ you?
I see. Wow.
Do you understand? Yes, I think it's making yourself much marketable.
Yeah.
Making yourself much more marketable will also make you attractive to any governmental institution or even a private sector in Ghana. So I think it's also entirely up to you. And then so you do your part, the government too.
Now I know why everybody says they're moving to Ghana. Wow, I'm so inspired. I hope I can say this, but I'm sure it is like that too for people who, like, I had a sister who finished from the UK and went back to Nigeria. Now she's doing well for herself. Like, even though a lot of things will eventually will frustrate you sometimes, but you know, I think purpose is larger than location anyway. Like, it doesn't really matter where we stay, where we end up. If you feel like you're supposed to fulfill something, you should eventually do it. And yes, I will soon release, I have an episode 2 with my sister and why she decided to go back to Nigeria. You should check it out whenever it comes out. Okay, and yes, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you guys for sitting with me for this long hour and doing this. I've also learned so much more about you guys. But before we go, as usual, as my custom is in other episodes, I usually ask about the dating scene for you guys or something fun you think you've done, you know, since you've been here, Ithaca. Well, if I let you share, I know we all know that you're hooked, you know, for life with some nice looking Ghanaian guy. And by the way, word on the street is that Ghanaian guys are very, I don't know, have you guys, okay, I want to ask, between Nigerian men always fool themselves and tell the whole world how other girls like them apart from Nigerian girls. But for, I know that I've been hearing that Ghanaian guys are very, very chauvinistic. Like, they like to help their women, they carry their women's bag, or like, you know, they're so nice, they cook. I'm like, wow, please tell me more. So please, Amna, what's your experience like at home and here with Ghanaian men?
With Ghanaian men in particular?
Or Nigerian men, or, you know.
Please be specific to
your experience. Okay. Thank you.
So, what I would say.
Why are you giving straight face? This is a very. Why is she giving straight face?
No, I'm trying to remember the Ghanaian men and Nigerian men I've met here. I've not met so much, so many actually.
Or any guys at all, like, okay, you know. Yeah. So what's the experience?
Last week, FY and I and another friend were actually talking about this. Over here, the dating scene is very different for Africans, African girls especially. You can be here, well, from my experience and my other friends who live here, you can be here for about 2 years, go out every day, wear the best clothes,
I know,
do the best makeup, and still no one will come up to you.
I'm not angry.
No one will come up to you and express any form of interest. Whereas in Ghana, I'm sure that's the same in Nigeria.
It is, you don't have to do too much.
You don't have to do too much. You don't have to wear makeup or do anything. You're just walking around the streets and everybody wants to talk to you. Everyone wants your number.
Here,
it's not like that at all. So it's one of the culture shocks that, why? What's going on these days? Am I not...
Am I not hot?
Yeah.
Am I like... I don't even know if that's not what you guys call hot in Ghana, but I can definitely relate. And
we also call that hot.
Okay. And then the thing how they say black girls at the bottom of the chain. And then, and you know, it's a whole... Yeah. And then but black guys are at the top of the chain because of other girls want them. I definitely can understand that, but Ifa doesn't really share those struggles with us, so please.
No, it doesn't take away from the fact that she's probably happily content with her partner. But
Wait,
you don't want to talk about right?
No, I don't mind. I was actually dating already before I came here. I've been in a relationship for 4 years.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah. Fortunately, I have company. Fortunately, yeah. I can do FaceTime.
Yeah.
Fortunately, my boyfriend is also in the US.
Okay.
So I see him occasionally.
Same time zone or not?
Same time zone, yes. Okay. He lives in Tennessee. So I see him occasionally. Okay. I talk to him every day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out. What's his name? Let's shout out.
His name is Kweku.
Like the song. Yeah. I mean, they just said that's Kweku inside. What does Kweku mean?
Kweku is a Wednesday, male born on Wednesday.
Oh, and Abna means female born on Tuesday, right? Yeah. And Ifwa means female born on Friday. Okay. See, Ghanaians, can you guys see? I'm getting to know you guys gradually. Then there's someone that is on Sunday. Kwame.
Akwesi.
What's the meaning of Kwame?
Kwame is Saturday.
Wow, and these names are so nice. If you hear our own... Okay, no shade to Nigeria. But okay, so for you, Ifa, like, what has the dating scene been like?
I share the same sentiments with Abna, but the consolation is the fact that I know I have a partner.
Yes.
So, like, these boys should take themselves.
Yay!
So, I really share the same sentiments with Abna. Like, of course, you can be looking nice and things. Nobody will approach you. Mm. You get, okay, in my clinic, you get, oh, Ifa, you're looking nice today. Mm. It's just you're looking nice. It's a compliment, a general compliment you get. It's not, can we talk?
Yeah.
It's there's no vibe.
And you know, it just goes along with say that even though we all have partners, like we still want to be seen, heard, wooed by other guys. I guess all girls can say they all share that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a partner back home.
Mm-hmm.
So some may say that it's part of the reason I'm rushing back, but it's not.
He's allowed. It's easy to have life partner, please.
Yeah, it's not true. Mm-hmm. But like, maybe deep down, maybe unconsciously, it might be part of the reason. Maybe I haven't really focused on it to see that, okay, it's part of the reason I want to go back home.
Mm.
But I'm happy with the partner I have.
Yeah.
And hi, baby, Steven.
Oh, shout out to him.
We're in a good place. Allow me. So, yeah, so it's like part of the reason. I'm sure it might be part of the reason. Maybe I haven't even focused on it, but I'm sure... unconsciously might be part of the reason why I want to go home. So with the guys here, so any girl that's coming, sweetheart, don't try to look for somebody. It's either you're coming
or maybe it's just in Ithaca.
Maybe
because
no,
you know, we're like 5% black in the whole of Cornell, and we're like what 20,000 people here on campus.
But why should we be just like, why do we have to just attract black guys?
Oh my god, my bad. Yes, that might just be a preference from me, but you're right, exactly.
So it exactly goes to show that,
and then some white girls, I hear that they like see black girls as a fetish. You know, for me, I really don't have a problem with it, maybe because I wasn't born here or anything, but you know, when they call us Nubian queens, chocolate. Mm-hmm. Lady, chocolate queen. Some people don't like it because it's like, so some people is racist. I'm like, that's racist. No Nigerian guys call me chocolate queen. No, please. If you want me to be a chocolate queen, I'm fine. but yeah, I also understand what that would mean.
Mm-hmm.
Even with long distance and all of that. And that's fair. But you also really shared why, talked about your parents, about why you wanted to come back.
One of the biggest influences. See.
Yeah, I know society a lot. Especially even for me these days, in my new adult life, I'm coming to see there's a new resentment that comes sometimes when you think about men and how they treat women sometimes. But I also believe that love can. There are still thriving relationships. There's still thriving, you know, lovers, people that are doing well. Even when we all argue and all that, men can still be good. They're still good men. They're still good girls. So. You still have even have some resentment. but and I don't think you should feel bad even if you were going home for a man. I know some people also tell you that, can he do the same for you? I mean, there will always be those doubts.
Oh, definitely.
There will always be those doubts, trust me. And men can really be scum, women too, but I definitely understand why you might be bothered. But I'm happy you have a bigger reason for going back home anyway. Abner, it's also nice to hear that.
I might also have that bias.
Yeah.
I might also have that bias.
She has that bias.
About her wanting to go back.
Because her boyfriend is here.
So, what's the bias exactly? Sorry.
That I might have the bias that because my boyfriend is here. My boyfriend is also in school.
That's true.
Also planning to stay.
That makes sense now.
I admit that I have that bias. But also, I'm not also tied too much to the US.
Yeah.
Even if I can go to China, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
I think I'm an adventurer. When you do these personality tests and things, they call something adventurer.
Oh.
So I would be happy to be in Turkey or China or something for a few years, just exploring life.
It's interesting to hear that someone can be an introvert and an adventurer, because I won't consider myself an introvert and an adventurer, even though I might be a bit extroverted. But that's interesting. Wow, this is, it's very interesting to learn all this about you guys.
And to add to one thing that Ifa was saying earlier, that in Ghana they respect name, I realize that it happens everywhere with the school we are coming from. In any other country they'll say, wow, you went to an Ivy League. So that's why I mentioned in the beginning that when you go to an Ivy League, the world is your stage. Like, you have opportunities around the globe. So it's one of the things I want to explore, not just in the US, but other countries too. I'm open to exploring.
Thank you guys for sharing all of this. And you said Turkey. Say Turkey, Nigeria. Pastor. You know, some, let's not even go there anyway. Let's not go to the difference in accents. And you guys also shared, I was even going to ask any advice you have for anyone, but you guys also talked about, you know, you told people in Ghana who want to come here why they should come to Cornell, you know, why it's good to have that international exposure and all of that. So thank you for sharing. One last thing before you go, let me go to Ifa. Tell us something that's not your LinkedIn. Tell us, like, what's not on your LinkedIn. Take your time. We'll wait.
I have the answer right.
Okay, Abna, okay.
I'm a baker as well. I'm a professional baker.
Professional!
Yeah.
Wow, why didn't you tell me you could bake my birthday cake? I didn't know.
You don't have the tools. If you had the tools, I would have done it for you.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to, I actually had or have a baking business back in Ghana.
Wow.
I bake birthday cakes and other desserts.
Oh, you know you can do it. It's just that there's so many regular I'm going to ask you that as well for your social media profiles. Because you know here, it's just that there's so many regulations in this place that, I mean, you could sell me a cake and I'll just Venmo you. Like, you could do it to your friends, like, and we'll just, it will be called supporting black businesses, you know? But anyway, tell us something that's on your LinkedIn, Ifa.
I'm so sorry, my life is not as exciting.
That's
to be very honest.
If you think hardly, there should be something.
You know, I'm thinking I can be a stylist. Like, I like going into shops and shopping for people.
Okay.
Like, I can spend a whole Saturday in a boutique and I'll be comfortable. Like, I'll be happy. I don't get tired. At all.
Wow.
And anybody who knows me can testify to this.
Yeah.
So maybe I should consider something like that.
No, but
I think that's the only thing I can say about something that maybe people don't know so much about me.
Yeah.
Like, I have time to shop for my friends in terms of clothing, especially.
Wow. I should come to you. I'm really fine. Graduation dresses.
Yeah, I think
before.
I limit it with, then like, I can help you. I think maybe it's limited to my family. I usually, because if my sister needs a dress, she'll be like, yeah, me, I'm hot. Then I'll start looking.
Because I'm hot how?
Meaning,
I'm
so stressed.
Sorry,
I need
it's so funny.
Help.
I can't get used to it.
I'm so sorry for this slang.
Please don't apologize.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's something maybe I should consider looking into.
Yeah.
But aside that, I don't really have any businesses or any passions. I think the way I really like clothing is something maybe I should delve into in my spare time.
Definitely.
Sadly, this profession is not allowing us. Maybe it's an excuse on my part.
But
this profession is not allowing us space out into other avenues. But if I do happen to find my feet, that's something I would like exploring.
Wow, that's very interesting to learn. And where can we find you at now on social media? So for everyone who's listening and they want to follow up, chat with you, bake a cake, you know, plug you into law firms, where can we find, what's your LinkedIn, what's your Twitter, what's your Instagram?
Okay, my LinkedIn is my full name, Abena Oponfosu. And my Instagram is ABNAOF_.
Okay, and what of your baking profile?
My baking profile is The Cake Lady GH, but I haven't posted in so long because I had an assistant, but she left right before I came to Cornell.
Assistant.
Yeah. She was in deep.
Hey, I see me sounding like a Ghanaian. I started learning, Beryl is teaching me that so much. I started learning exclamations. Like a whole CEO, a whole employee.
Yeah, I had an employee.
Say it again. What's the Instagram handle? At what?
It's The Cake Lady GH.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Even me too, I'm going to follow it. And Ifua, where can we find you on social media?
Yes. So my LinkedIn is also my full name, Ifua Sewa Nyamiche Nkansa. And then my Instagram is Nyamiche, the small letter NYAM, the number 3 KYE. I'm ready to accept any questions, any concerns anybody might like would have coming to Cornell. I'm open.
You guys, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so excited. Thank you. And you guys know, like, people who have been, like, my ardent listeners know that I haven't podcasted in like 6 months. I haven't released an episode. But after we spoke again during brunch, you know, I spoke to you people and you told me you were going back home before, and Emma said she was staying. I was like, you guys made me come back to podcasting. So I will never forget you guys. Like, now I feel like, I mean, I don't know when next I'm going to do the next one, but just to think that your stories inspired me enough to want to know, man, I'm here, is a very emotional thing for me to finally pick this up again. Because after a point in my life, I'm happy to be picking up what I like to do and again. So I'm really excited for that. And I think that comes to the end of this. So thank you guys. Thank you, Ifua. Thank you, Abna. I really appreciate
this. Has been really fun. Yeah. This is my first social interview. Like, it's really fun to delve into my life and talk about myself, because I don't even think about these things if someone doesn't ask.
And if any last words.
I'm also asking for your last words, Abna.
So anybody that wants to come here and the person is frightened, the person is uncertain, the person is unsure, I would encourage you to take the step. And despite the fact that I may not have had maybe a very wholesome experience given my personality, I'm definitely sure you would enjoy yourself. And it's a testament to someone like Tolu, who is starting this whole podcast that delves into the lives of people like us who are coming to schools here. So I would encourage you to take this step. I know it might be difficult at first, but trust me, it'll be very rewarding.
Thank you, Ifan. Abna, any last? And you said Abena, is that the full pronunciation? I'm saying Abna
since. That's the full pronunciation.
Oh, I'm sorry, Abena. So any last words?
So I would also encourage anyone who wants to come today. Okay, I think there's this move in Ghana right now and in Nigeria especially, where everyone wants to run away. It's like we're escaping our country at all costs. We'll do anything to be in the US.
Yeah,
it's all well and good. Come and gain the experience. But then again, even though I'm here searching and all of that, don't kill yourself if you're not able to find whatever it is you are looking for. It's all well and good to gain the experience. I would encourage going out of your country to explore a bit. Just explore your life and see what you can make out of it. But don't die in the search. That's what I would say.
I agree. I definitely agree to not subscribing to the rat race. I know how it can be, but and I think our faith too helps us. You know, God is also a very prominent path of our life so far, and I'm just so grateful to him that, you know, all of us are meeting at this point in time. We're at the right place and at the right time. So guys, thank you so much for listening. If you made it to the end, we love you. Shout out to you as well. And we hope that you enjoyed this. We hope you learn a thing or two. On Instagram, I'm at the non-immigrant student. On LinkedIn, I'm at Tolulope Olukomi, my full government name. And then thank you so much for being here. And like I always say, if we can do it, you can do it too. So see you at the top soon. Bye guys.